what I started to discover as I looked at quantum models and I correlated it with my years and years of spiritual study, I saw a pattern, a very distinct pattern. And the first thing you find is, I mean, if you go to the book of Genesis and the Garden of Eden, this is actually an amazing parable, both in physics and in spirituality. But you look at what that God had warned that Adam and Eve should never partake of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day they do, they will surely die. Now, that sounds like, you know, a temptation. And most theologists actually inadvertently take the side of the devil by believing it's good to know the difference between good and evil. But if you really look at what it is, the entire thing without separating it, good and evil is a conflict. It's two forces competing against each other and canceling each other out in the form of a conflict. Now, if a single individual ingests good and evil, what they normally do, what I normally do when I have a problem or a conflict is I try to solve it. And what we do, we define good and we define evil egotistically. And that's fine if there's only one person on the earth, but there are literally billions of people on the earth now, and what the problem is, when each person egotistically decides what is good and what is evil, they disagree. Some agree, and they form large congregation or thought bodies or religions that agree with each other, saying, my interpretation of the Bible or of the Quran or of the Old Testament or the Dhammapada in Buddhism, or you even look at the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, what you find is every religion has literally hundreds of divisions because of the fact that they don't agree on all the points, major points and minor points, and eventually they schism or split off into different schools, like Christianity has and like all the great religions have. So what good and evil does is it proves itself to always be a conflict. You solve the conflict, you define it, but yet everyone defines it differently, so they argue. And their arguments lead eventually to wars and even fanatical holy wars, like we're dealing with terrorism, where one religion thinks their religion is superior to ours, or as Islamic people think, many think, because I know I've studied it when I was in Saudi Arabia, that they even believe that they have interpreted Christianity better than Americans have, and therefore they're more holy than we are, and they hold that against us. So what good and evil does, what God was actually saying is that this, don't ever take in this knowledge because it's conflict. It's poison. It will always divide your mind into two. Now, just hold that thought for a moment. Just think
because I want to see how you're going to blend.
Yeah, how I'm going to blend
this
into physics.
With
now,
physics.
Look, when subatomic physicists are looking at the particles, atoms themselves, just on a simplistic level, you look at a hydrogen atom, which is the primary atom in creation. You have hydrogen and helium are the two fuels that fuse in our sun. You have a proton spinning positive clockwise, and you have an electron spinning negative. That's positive and negative. Most physicists say that the atom is basically inert magnetically. It has no magnetism or even no electromagnetism overall because those two forces cancel each other out. If two people are pulling on a rope in opposite directions, with the exact same force, they cancel out the overall force to zero. And that's essentially what is happening in our consciousness. Because of this conflict state that we have ingested spiritually, we live in this state of conflict that cancels out most of our energy. Now, if you look at if you look deeper into the atom, you find that the electron has an anti-electron, which is electron spins negative, anti-electron spins positive.
Positive, right.
And then you have proton, anti-proton. And then you have quark, anti-quark. And then it gets smaller. You get into taus, anti-taus, leptons, muons. It just keeps going smaller and smaller, and all of them are in the same dual pairedness that happened in consciousness with the proverbial fall from the Garden of Eden.
Almost like you must have yin and yang and positive,
negative.
Exactly.
The question is, now, this is the amazing thing. Where did all this start? Where did this duality, where was it born from? And if we look at all of the great teachers from Jesus Christ to Buddha to Muhammad to, I mean, all of them, I mean, you can go, you know, Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, they all speak, and I will use even the Bible here. We speak of Jesus when he says in the Gospel of Matthew that if thine eye becomes single, thy whole body shall be filled with light. Now, let's look at that statement and correlate it to physics, too, because in all of physics, of every particle we know of, every wave-particle relationship, because all particles are just particles in wave relationships, light is the only particle that we initially know is single. It has no antiparticle paired with it that we can identify yet, although we're going to get much deeper into this later in the discussion. So light, in essence, is single. It actually spins positive versus negative. So light is the only particle we know of also that can move at this amazing velocity, 186,282 miles per second, which comes to 670 million miles per hour. Now,
nothing else really comes close to it.
Nothing else that we know of yet really comes close to it. But when we look at that and we think, wow, that's so instantaneous over short distances, and light, in all of Einstein's relativity, we rely on light to tell us what is happening in a particular event. Now, let's look at an event, even a small-scale event. Two people are watching a car accident, and one of them is 100 yards away from the accident, and one of them is 10 feet away from the accident.
Mm-hmm.
In the same moment in time, the person who's 200 yards away from it is not seeing the same thing the person is 10 yards away from it, or 10 feet away from it, because we're relying on a velocity, which is a limitation, to witness that event. And when we expand that out into the universe, we think of even our closest star systems, Alpha Centauri A and B, are 4.2 and 4.3 light years from here. We're not seeing them in real time. We're seeing them as the light left them 4.3 years ago.
I'm sure there are stars we're looking at now that have already burned out.
They've already burned out, and galaxies that may not even exist anymore. I mean, Andromeda is 2.2 million years light years away from us. So when an astronomer looks at it, they're almost looking at a Y, something that is not actually happening right now. So what we actually have to start to get into to find out where we are today in science, you know, we can drive down the freeway at 100 miles an hour for breaking the speed limit. We can travel on the space shuttle at 18,000 miles an hour around the Earth. The speed of light is 76 million miles per hour. We're very far away from that. But even worse, when we consider the idea of becoming so free that we can move anywhere in our universe in zero time, all of our theories in physics so far don't get us anywhere near that.